Glad I got a place. Do you have a place tonight?
Amen.
You may not remember the exact day or the exact hour that you got saved, but I don't believe you'll ever forget that place.
Amen.
Where something so great is God moving in. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And I hope you got a place tonight. If you don't, this could be your place.
Amen.
This evening. Amen.
Amen.
And I wonder, is that place still dear to you? Does it still move you when you think about it? Or have you gotten past Calvary? Have you gotten past what Jesus did for you? If you have, that's why we have meetings like this. Amen. To get revived. Get charged up. Brother Bill told me a while ago before church, he said we need to get jacked up. Now I know what he meant, amen, but that in modern day terminology, that means a whole different thing. Amen. And I promise I'm not here to jack you up in the modern day slang, but amen, we could use a good jacking up from Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Woke up, pumped up, stirred up, something, amen.
Amen.
We need it, I need it, amen. So take your Bible this evening and let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 18, the book of 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we do appreciate you having us in again this year and your kindness to our family. And I'm just looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. We need Him. Amen.
Amen.
It don't matter what preachers you bring in. It don't matter what singers you bring in. It don't matter how big or large the crowd is this week if the Holy Ghost of God don't show up.
That's right.
Songwriter said it best, it'll all be in vain.
Amen.
We need Him. We need Him in these days. And I hope you'll be praying. Hope you'll do your best to be here each service. And I know what Brother Moore said this morning. I agree with him. Sometimes you're just providentially hindered from being here. People are sick. Sometimes you got to work. I understand that. But if you can be here this week, amen, if you go to church here, you ought to be here in your place.
Right.
Amen. Prayed up, ready to meet with God. And I promise you this, the devil will fight you.
Yeah.
I mean, even right now, you may have already determined, man, I'm going to be here. I mean, through Wednesday night, I'm going to be here every night. I promise you the devil will fight. If he's going to fight at all, it'll be the week of revival meeting. And he'll offer you every excuse in the world not to come. But don't listen to him. Amen. That night you miss, it'll be the night. I mean, Brother Moore, how often do we hear it from the pastors? I got a family or I got a church member. I mean, what happened here tonight? What was preached tonight? Whatever happened, it was exactly what they needed. And I hate that they missed it. And so don't miss it. If you can be here, be in your place and come expecting God. Come looking for God. Amen. And He'll do something for you. I believe that tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Would you like to stand for just a moment? We'll read a few verses of Scripture and I'll let you stretch your legs. And don't get nervous. That does not mean I'm going to be long. Most of my messages are about like me. They're short and sweet. I don't know about the sweet part. We'll see how it goes. But let's pick up reading tonight in verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" It's amazing, people are always wanting to blame the preacher. I mean, if anything's going wrong, it's got to be the preacher's fault. Amen. Y'all didn't laugh at that. Y'all, that's a good joke to laugh at right there. Amen. Verse 18, "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." You can be seated tonight. I appreciate you standing. Tonight I want to really do my best to kind of stay with the theme of what Brother Moore preached on this morning. I want to stay on the subject of revival. I want to preach tonight on the revival on Mount Carmel. The revival on Mount Carmel. Now, maybe you're looking at this text and you've read this passage of Scripture many times. Maybe you've heard it preached many times. And you might say, "Well, preacher, there's no mention of revival anywhere in this passage of Scripture." And you're right, the word's not there. But I do believe you got all the elements of revival. You got a preacher that shows up preaching, amen? I mean, Elijah just shows up on the scene. And back in chapter 17, we'd never heard of Elijah the Tishbite until chapter 17. And when he shows up, I mean, he just knocks on Ahab's door and he says, "Hey, big boy, judgment's coming." That's not King James, that's redneck version. But anyway, in a sense, he said, "Judgment's about to come." Because you've been wicked, you've been sorry, you ain't been obeying God, judgment's come. I mean, it wasn't, hey, King, good to see you, let me bow to you, let me shake your hand. It's like, judgment's coming. There was no cutting up. He didn't joke around with him. Amen. Nowadays, if you want to get a crowd to listen to you at church, you got to spend 10 minutes telling them how wonderful they are and then spend the other 10 minutes making them laugh and telling jokes. Amen. And listen, Brother Moore, there's nothing wrong with humor. And there's nothing wrong with a good joke. Brother Denver told me a good one about the wise men that came from afar. Amen. They must have been farming. I don't know. Amen. But amen. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with a good joke. But listen, if you have to have all that to sit and listen to a sermon, something's wrong.
Amen.
You might be a little bit carnal if you have to have that to get a message from God's Word. That's where we're at today, though, in modern day. Not Elijah, man. He just showed up and said, judgments. Hey, we will not have revival until some preachers get back to preaching the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. I mean, we got to preach the whole counsel of God, the parts that everybody likes and the parts that we don't like. Amen. We need preaching from the Word of God. We ain't going to have revival until we get some preachers that'll get back to preaching the book.
Amen.
Holy Ghost Bible preaching is still what's going to get the job done in this day and age. It's what God has always used. It's what He's going to use. If revival comes here at Ball Road this week, it'll be because some preaching took place.
Amen.
We heard some preaching this morning. I say praise God for it.
Amen.
We need preaching. We got enough politicking going on in the pulpits. We got enough cutting up going on. Amen. We preachers sharing. I'm just going to share with you. Sometimes, Brother Morgan, preachers introduce me. You know, all right, Brother Waters, come share with us. I'm like, man, I didn't come to share nothing. Hey, man, I didn't share my toys when I was growing up. I don't share my food. I mean, I was talking so much today at lunch at Red Robin. Somehow she managed to get a fry or two without getting her hand popped. No, I don't do that. She pops back harder. Amen. I didn't come to share, man. I come to preach. I want to see God move. I want to see old-time, heaven-sent revival, and the only way it's going to come is through the preaching of God's Word. There is no... I like singing, man. God blesses singing. God likes singing. I mean, the right kind. Amen. God likes singing. But He's chosen preaching. Amen. There's a preacher preaching. There's people repenting. It does not matter how sound or how straight the preacher preaches. If people aren't willing to repent, if people aren't willing to respond to the message, there'll be no revival.
Amen.
You know, really, tonight, we need more than just to walk out of here tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday saying, well, that was a good sermon, preacher. I hope it's good. But man, we need more than that.
Amen.
We need our hearts changed. We need jacked up. Amen. I'm going to stick with that tonight. Amen. And then in verse 38, we see the power of God on display where God sends the fire down from heaven. That sounds like a pretty good revival to me. And brother and sister, I don't know about y'all, but we need revival. And I go to the barber shop and I sit around here, people talk about America, and even in the church house we talk about how America needs to be revived. But if revival's ever going to come to America, it's going to come through the local church. It's going to come through the church. We're going to have to get revived. We're going to have to get fired up. We're going to have to get woke up and be willing to change before revival ever comes to America. I'm glad for the president that is in the office tonight. It could have been a whole lot worse. I know he's not a perfect man. We all know that. But it could have been a whole lot worse. But you know what? We need more than just a revival of conservatism. We need a revival of righteousness and holiness and godliness. We need to wake up. We need revival. And I think a lot of times, especially in our independent King James Bible believing Baptist churches, a lot of times we think, well, you know, we're King James only and we're fundamental in our doctrine and separated from the world and we got all these things just right. But even in that, even in all that and being right in those things, we can still get cold. We can still get callous. Oh, we're right in all our beliefs. But how's your heart toward God tonight? I like what Brother Moore said this morning. We need something that'll go with us to the house.
Amen.
Not leave at about 7 o'clock tonight and just leave it here. We need something that'll go to work with us tomorrow.
Amen.
Something that'll go to school with the young people tomorrow. Something that'll change us.
Amen.
We need revival. Notice several things here tonight. Just by way of introduction, in verse number 21, look at it. We see the issue of Elijah's day. It said in verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." In other words, Elijah said, "Hey boys, y'all need to side up. The issue was this. Y'all need to pick a side and get on that side, because you can't play for both teams." I played basketball growing up. You say, as short as a runt as you are, you played basketball. I went to Christian school. We didn't have many kids, amen. But I played basketball. And one thing I know, you did not want to score points for the other team. You wanted to score the points for your team. We got a lot of people in the church house today, amen. They're trying to score points for both teams, the devil's side and God's side. It ain't going to work that way for long, amen. You need to pick a side and get in on it. I remember several years ago, the issue of transgenders became real big, and we started hearing about it a lot in the news. Y'all remember all that? I mean, you know, boys wanting to be girls and girls wanting to be boys. They weren't happy with how God made them. And then, you know, the celebrity Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner and all that garbage. And you know, I'm still wondering today, does he get a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card? Because, huh? Something wrong with that. Nobody, I mean, for a while there in North Carolina, everybody was having problem figuring out which bathroom to use. All that kind of junk going on. You know, there's a lot of people in the church house today, ain't much different. We want to live all week long how we want to live, do what we want to do, go where we want to go. Talk how we want to talk, watch what we want to watch, listen to what we want to listen to, and then we want to come to church on Sunday and say, "Bless me, Jesus. Oh, send revival, Lord. We're ready, Lord." Are we really ready? You can't have it both ways. It can't be boot scooting boogie on Friday and Saturday, and then how great thou art on Sunday. It ain't going to work. It can't be Cotton Eye Joe's on the weekend and then church on Sunday. Amen. I know a church. Amen. I know a church within an hour of here that had members going to Cotton Eye Joe on Friday and Saturday nights and posting pictures on Facebook of them sitting at the bar and dancing and all that kind of stuff, and then going to church on Sunday and teaching Sunday school and singing in the choir. That church has been destroyed tonight because of carnality and wickedness. They wanted it both ways. It ain't going to work, amen. You need to pick a side and get on it. And I highly recommend God's side. It's the winning side, hallelujah. Amen. We need to get in all the way on this thing. Side up. Pick a side. Y'all ever been driving down the road and seen squirrels crossing the road? Amen. I'm easily entertained. It don't take much. I'm from Arkansas. We didn't have a lot to do out there. So I'm driving down the road, and here comes a squirrel in the middle of the road, and that thing just sees the car coming, and it's... Y'all seen that? Have you ever noticed there's a lot of dead squirrels? I'm telling you, there's a semi-truck coming right down the road driven by Satan. He's coming straight at you, and you better figure out which side of the road you're going to get on it. He's going to flatten you spiritually. Amen. It's time to side up. Not only that, the issue, we see the indecision at the end of verse number 21. Notice it said, "And the people answered him, not a word." I've preached that crowd before. Many times, amen. Pour your heart out, amen. Try to preach with the power of God, and people just look at you like, better than you have tried. Ain't going to move me. They answered him, not a word. Not only do we need to side up, we need to speak up. It's about time that God's people, we got our voice back. Amen. I'm telling you, the world has told us to be quiet. Just tone it down. Mellow it out. Amen. Don't be so loud. Don't be so noisy. Just keep your religion to yourself and all that kind of stuff. And I'm noticing that the quieter that we get in the church house, the louder they're getting out there. The louder the atheists are. The louder the sodomites are. The louder the baby killers are. I say it's time God's people got our voice back, and we stood up for truth. We stood up for godliness and righteousness and declared that the Word of God is truth and it's right and God is holy, and we need to make some changes, but we're going to have to speak up.
Amen.
But then I want you to notice the individual in verse number 22. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." Elijah's there all by himself. You know what? We need some people that'll be willing to stand up.
Amen.
Even when you're standing all alone. Now we know in the next chapter the Lord tells Elijah, "Elijah, I got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal." But those 7,000, they weren't anywhere around on Mount Carmel. And I got good news for y'all. And Brother Morrill testified to this. There's people all around America that still haven't bowed their knee to Baal. They haven't bowed their knee to compromise. Amen. They're out there. He was in South Dakota a week or so ago and Wyoming. We were in Oklahoma last week and saw God move in those places. And then here we are in East Tennessee. Amen. You're not alone. But you might find yourself in a spot where you feel like you're alone. And even when you're in that place, just go ahead and stand for truth. Stand for God. Amen. Stand up for Jesus. The old preacher said, you won't walk for long if you can't walk alone. And sometimes standing for the Lord can be a lonely place. Amen. But I tell you this, I'd rather please God than the crowd any day. Amen. We need some folks that'll side up and speak up and stand up for Jesus. I want to read, picking up in verse 23, let's read through several verses, and I want you to just kind of see how this plays out here on Mount Carmel. Beginning in verse 23, Elijah said, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Man, I like Elijah. I mean, I'm reading those words. Elijah mocked them, and I'm thinking, I get that. I mean, that's a man after my own heart right there. I mean, he sees something goofy, something totally ridiculous going on, and he starts making fun of them. You say, that's not real Christian-like. Maybe it's not. I don't know, but man, it just resonates with me. I can't help it, man. I just see ridiculous stuff going on, and I can't help but make a comment about it. Amen. I can't help but mock it. And notice what he said in verse 27. He said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth. Must be awake. I mean, Elijah's running them up the road. I mean, he's standing there watching them jumping up and down on the altar. I mean, lifting their voice, crying out to their false god. And Elijah's just standing there. What's the matter, boys? Is he taking a nap? What, did he go on a vacation? Is he talking to somebody else and he can't hear y'all right now? What's the problem? Elijah's giving him a hard time. Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Let me take a time out right there and say a little word about this thing of cutting. The Bible said they cut themselves. Blood's running all over the altar from where they're cutting themselves. We hear a lot about that the last decade or so, this thing about young people and cutting. There's not hardly a youth camp goes by in the summer that somebody don't come up and say, pray for me, preacher, I've been cutting myself. And we just, if we're not careful, parents and grandparents just dismiss that as, well, it's just a phase, it's just a fad they're going through. No, there's a problem. Amen. It's not okay. See, cutting is always associated with demons and devil worship. It always is, amen? There in Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara running around there in the tomb. There's three things about that man full of the devils that sticks out to me, three characteristics. First of all, he's hanging out in a graveyard. If you're hanging out in a graveyard and you're not just there to visit a grave or put some flowers on a tomb, something wrong. Anybody that enjoys hanging out in a cemetery, something wrong somewhere. And you know, we've got a generation that is being taught to love dead things. I mean, you look at all the television shows that are coming down the road now. It's all zombies and vampires and Walking Dead and all this stuff. And our young people, they're being brainwashed with that junk. And they're consumed with death and demonic things. Not only did he hang out in the graveyards, but he was running around naked. Uh-oh, summertime's coming. Let's all go to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and just take half our clothes off. Huh? I know it's going to get hot. I understand that, but keep your clothes on. Amen. Amen. That ain't an excuse, amen, to run around half naked, amen. I was in Connecticut a while back, and I kept saying naked, naked. Finally, somebody on the front row said, "What are you saying?" I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, naked." But we're in East Tennessee. Y'all understand what I'm saying, amen. 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 That was associated with somebody full of the devil. He didn't want to put his clothes on. That's a big problem in our day. Amen. And that goes for the men too. I'm not just picking on the ladies. Sir, keep your shirt on, please. Do us a favor and just keep it on. You ain't got to mow the yard without a shirt. Amen. Nobody wants to drive by and see you. Just see your belly on. Amen. I mean, even your wife's looking out the window going, "Oh, no, not again. Please. Please, Bubba, put the shirt on." But then the Bible said that that maniac was cutting himself. And what we got young people that are going into their rooms and putting their little earbuds in. And mom and dad, it's been a while since you checked their iPhone or their iPod or whatever device they're... It'd do you good to go home and check it out. Well, I don't want to invade their privacy. You better invade their privacy. Amen. Amen. You better know what's going on behind those bedroom doors. Amen. Be a responsible parent.
Amen.
But what they're doing, they're getting that music on there and putting them earbuds in, and they get to listening to all that junk. It's getting in their head and in their heart, and the next thing you know, something's compelling them. We say, what is that? Demonic activity.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not okay. If you're here tonight and you're doing that, let me say this. You need to either get saved or you need to get right with God.
Yeah.
And we're not mad at you. We love you. If I didn't, I wouldn't preach this. I'd preach a happy little message and we'd go eat and go to sleep tonight. But I want you to know you can get help.
Amen.
But you're first going to have to realize you're in a bad spot. Amen. Realize you need help. But I'm just saying, it's not okay. We're just writing it off like it's just a phase. No, there's something seriously wrong right there.
Amen.
Amen. And you need to get to Jesus as fast as you can. Verse number 29, notice it. It said, "And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him." Now you get the scene here. Elijah's been watching this take place all day now. He's already missed lunch. Now it's supper time. He's ready for a piece of fried chicken. He's seen all the junk he cares to see. So finally he calls them over. He wants to get their attention. I could hear him. I mean, if he was anything like my dad, he said, "Hey, him." Y'all understand that in East Tennessee? In Arkansas, amen, when your daddy wanted to get your attention, he'd say, "Hey, boy, him." And then when dad said, you say, what does that mean? In the Greek, it means, "Get your tail here, I'm going to smack you silly." Amen. And but when dad said, "Get over here," we say, "Him." You know, you didn't say, "Hold on, hold on, there's a commercial coming up."
Amen.
Oh, no, you didn't say, hold on, dad, I'm about to beat this level, give me just a minute. Oh, no, you didn't do that.
Amen.
Because see, my dad, I don't know how y'all was raised. My dad, he didn't know anything about timeout. Amen. Amen. You know what timeout does? All that does is give your child, it gives them a few minutes to sit there and fume and fuss and think about how much they're mad at you and how much they hate you because you got on to them.
Amen.
My dad didn't know anything about counting to three. We hear parents today now, you know, "Don't you make me count to three." And so far, I've only heard them count to 2.5. They never did get to 3. I'm not sure most kids really believe their parents know how to count to 3 because they ain't never heard them get there. I got a few people with me tonight. Some of you looking real nervous, but it's okay. Amen. Man, I tell you what we did have, man. We had belts and switches and paddles. I mean, we had all sort of neat little weapons of mass destruction around my house. Amen. We got whoopings. There's a difference between a whipping and a whooping. Amen. I tell you something though, we had manners.
Yes.
Amen. My mom and dad taught me to say yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am. You didn't go up and interrupt them and poke them and hey, you didn't do any of that junk. Uh-uh. Meanwhile, back in the Bible, Elijah calls them over. And here's how they had revival on Mount Carmel. Notice in verse number 30, they fixed what was broken. I had a long introduction, short message. They had to fix what was broken. At the end of verse number 30, it said, "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down."
Amen.
Before the fire could ever fall, Before they could see the power of God, they had to fix what was broken. They had to repair the altar. Brother and sister, the altars, they're broken down in our churches today. The altars aren't used near as much as they used to be. I've heard some of the old timers talk about revival meetings where people would come down and spend a long time at an altar weeping, crying out to God. Weeping over their sin. Weeping over their backslidden condition. Weeping over lost sinners. Or just crying out to God in thankfulness for how good He was and how He had blessed them. They said after a good meeting you could come down to an altar and you could just scoop the tears up into the palm of your hand. Now you can't even hardly get people to budge and make a move to an altar. Amen. We're too full of pride. We're too worried about what somebody's going to think. Well, preacher, if I come to the altar, somebody's going to think I'm wicked. We all know you're wicked. You might as well just come get right with God. Amen. Amen. The altars are broken down. The Bible said, not the Bible, but the law of entropy says that things left to themselves will break down. Things have to be maintained. If you plant a garden this spring, you know what's going to happen? Weeds are going to pop up, so you got to go out there and weed the garden. You got to take care of it. You got to maintain a car. That check engine light will come on, and the longer you let it go, the worse it's going to be when you finally do get it to the shop. And usually the more it'll cost you because you didn't get it taken. Hey, maybe tonight that check engine light's blinking. God's trying to get your attention. Are you going to just let it go and keep going on and on and on and trying to get as far as you can? It's just going to get harder and harder for you. Things are going to get worse and worse, and it's going to cost you more the longer you let it go. They have to be maintained, man. That's why we got to take a shower, man. This old body, this flesh, it gets nasty. So we got to take a shower. We got to put things on like deodorant. Amen. Y'all believe in deodorant in Knoxville, I hope. Amen. When I was a boy, I almost hate to admit this. Sometimes I feel like I'm giving kids ideas, but when I was a little boy, I hated taking showers. And Mom would make me take a shower, and I'd go in there and I'd turn the water on and I'd never get in it. And I'd take the wash rag, and I mean, I'd go through the whole charade. I'd get it all wet and soaked up. I'd put soap on it and then lay it there. And I mean, I'd go through the whole charade. You know, by the time I went through all that, I might as well have just taken a shower. But how often, if we do come to an altar, do we just come down and just sort of throw up a little prayer? We really don't do business with God. Maybe we're just trying to get the preacher off our back. Maybe you're a young person. You're just trying to get mom and daddy off your back. If you're going to come down here, why don't you just go ahead and get honest with God?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you just go ahead and fix some things in your life? You got sin in your life tonight? Why don't you go ahead and do business with God? Don't sit here all week and be a hindrance to the revival. You say, preacher, are you telling me that just me, just my one sin that I won't confess? Are you trying to tell me I could hinder this revival? Yes. There's no telling what. I mean, and you know right now, you know who you are and you know what it is. If you'd get that one thing taken care of, there ain't no telling. God may just peel back the windows of heaven and pour His blessings out upon this meeting and upon this church. If we'll just get right with God and get some things fixed. Maybe you're here tonight and your marriage is having some trouble. I know we don't like to talk about that kind of stuff, but it's just a reality. Why don't you get that fixed tonight? Oh, I know maybe it's so far gone. Maybe you can't fix it with one trip to an altar, but you can start getting it fixed.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to let it get worse.
Amen.
Amen. You could have revival in your home tonight if you'll just get honest with God. Maybe you got a problem with a brother or sister in this church. I know y'all don't have problems like that in East Tennessee. That's just us over on the western side of the state. No, it's everywhere. Maybe tonight, when the invitation is given, maybe you need to get out of your seat and walk over to somebody and say, hey, let's just put this behind us. There's bigger things in this little feud going on. We need to meet with God. There's sinners that need to get saved. Our church needs revival. Let's just put this behind us. Maybe you've got all against your preacher. Preachers aren't perfect. I understand that, but neither are you. Amen. Maybe if you got a problem with the preacher tonight, going to everybody else in the church telling them your problem with the preacher, going to Facebook and putting it on there, that ain't going to fix it. Maybe tonight you need to get with your preacher and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm more interested in having revival this week than just staying mad at you and being full of myself. You want to fix what's broken? You want to have revival? It ain't going to happen until we fix some things. But then secondly, they filled up some barrels. Look at it in verse number 33. Y'all didn't like that point. Let me move on to the second one. Verse 33 said, they put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. So here Elijah is. He's asking God to pour down the fire, to send down the fire on the altar. So he tells these men, he says, fill up 12 barrels with water and I want you to pour the water out all over the altar. Now, how many of y'all know tonight that if you're trying to get a fire going, the first thing you want to do is get it good and soaking wet? No, that's not. Well, you want it to be dry when you're getting ready to set something on fire. But Elijah told him to soak it with water to the point the trench is even running around with water there. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You say, why did Elijah do that? Why in the world would he do that? The Bible doesn't specifically say, but I can't help but believe that Elijah just wanted them to know that when the fire did fall, that it was God. He wanted them to know that it was God that did it. He wanted God to get all the glory. Amen. You know what we need to do tonight if we're going to have revival? We need to fill up some barrels, amen, and pour them out, amen, unto God and give Him glory and honor and praise. Hey, He is a jealous God. He is not going to share His glory with you or with me or anybody else. He wants all the glory and He deserves all the glory. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a lot of man worship going on in our churches today. And listen, I know the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due, and I believe that, and I try to practice that, but there's a difference between honoring somebody but then leaving God out of the picture and giving man all the glory instead of God. Boy, it's about time that we got a hold of how good God's been to us, how blessed we really are, amen. We ought to fill up some barrels tonight, amen, and just dump them out to God and say, thank you, God. Here's a barrel for saving me, amen. Here's a barrel, amen, for my family. Here's a barrel for how blessed I am. Here's a barrel for my church, hallelujah. Here's a barrel because I ain't got to go to hell, amen. We need to fill up some barrels and pour them out to God. Amen. And He'll take note of that. He likes that. He's liable to show up in a big way. But we're going to have to get self out of the way and look to God. Did you ever think about what was in the barrels before they put the water in them? Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything was in them. But I just know how things work. Usually if there's some barrels sitting around, there's something in them. But they had to get the other stuff out before they could put the water in. What's in your barrel tonight? What's keeping you from giving God the worship and the praise and the glory that He's so worthy of? What is it that's holding you back? You have to get that out. First, by the way, don't worry about what's in your neighbor's barrel. I know how Baptists are. I've been one. I was a Baptist before I even got saved. Amen. I know how we are. Well, I know what's in their barrel. We ain't talking about them. We're talking about you. What's in your barrel that you need to get out? Amen. Then number three, Elijah focused on the beyond. I'll explain that in a second, but look at verse 36. It said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here's his prayer, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel and that I am Thy servant and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know, watch this, that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. That Thou hast turned their heart back again. Now you realize Elijah's praying that prayer like it had already happened? Their hearts have not been turned back. That doesn't happen until verse 38 when the fire falls. Then they repent and acknowledge God as God. But Elijah prays the prayer like it's already happened. You say, what happened? He focused beyond his present circumstances. He focused beyond all the critics that were standing around judging him and laughing at him. He looked beyond that by faith and prayed a prayer like it had already happened. That's the kind of faith we need tonight. That's the kind of prayers we need to be praying tonight. Maybe instead of tonight saying, oh God, I pray that you'll save my lost loved one. Maybe every now and then you ought to just go ahead and pray, Lord, I want to thank you that you're going to save them. Maybe you've been praying a long time for a prodigal that's out in the far country and you've been praying, Lord, I pray you'll bring them back. Nothing wrong with praying that. But maybe every now and then you ought to just pray with a little bit more faith and say, oh Lord God, I want to thank you that they're coming back. Maybe instead of just praying this week, oh God, please send revival, maybe it wouldn't hurt to cry out to God tonight and just say, Lord, I just want to go ahead and thank you for the revival that's coming to Ball Road Baptist Church. I want to thank you for revival that's coming to my home and to my heart. You know, preacher, I just don't believe in praying like that. Well, Elijah did. And God honored it. Pray a prayer of faith. I mean, I think too often we pray, but we really don't expect anything. We even pray knowing that God can, just not necessarily believing that God will. We need to pray some prayers of faith, but you might have to focus beyond your present circumstances tonight. You might have to look beyond that. Then in verse number 38 is the verse that is preached so often and dealt with, but in verse number 38, the fire burned up everything. It said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, but it didn't stop there. And the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. I like that. It licked up the water that was... In other words, that fire came down, it got everything. I mean, it got it all. Amen. And here we are tonight. You know what we do? We use water to put fire out, but God used fire to put the water out. What about that? That's the God I serve tonight. Amen. He can take care of that. Hey, what I'm saying tonight is God sent the fire then, and He can still do it now. God hasn't changed. He hasn't lost one bit of power. He's still on the throne and He's still in control tonight. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe. One person. Do you believe God's still in control tonight? Do you believe that God can still send revival? He hasn't changed. We're the ones that change. The God of Elijah is the God that I'm serving here tonight. Amen. The God of the Apostle Paul is the God that I'm serving in 2018. The God of Lester Roloff and Mays Jackson and Harold Seidler is the God that's still in control, still on the throne, and is still able to send revival and change lives and save lost souls in this day and age. He hasn't changed. We're the ones that have changed. We're the ones that have grown cold. We're the ones that have gotten calloused and full of carnality. But if we'll come to God and repent and cry out to Him and have faith, He's liable to just roll back the windows of heaven and pour spirit of revival out upon us. I believe He can still do it. If I didn't believe that, I'd go home. And I'd sit on my front porch and I'd watch the corn come in. Amen. Because that's what I like to do. And I like to preach too. God called me to preach. I like to preach. I like to sing. I enjoy it all. Amen. But I do believe God can still send revival. And I believe He can do it right here, this week, with this group of people. But we're going to have to quit playing games. We're going to have to quit coming to church and just going through our little religious routine and putting on our little show. We're going to have to get honest with God and get humble before God. Amen. That's what we need. See, what we want though in this modern day age and the new churches and all these young preachers, what we want is verse 38 where the fire falls, but we don't want to fix anything. We don't want to change our ways. We don't want to quit our sinning. But we still want to come in and say, Lord, send the fire, please. Amen. We're blessed that He don't just send the fire of judgment down tonight. Amen. We don't want to fix anything. We don't want to fill up any barrels and give Him glory. We have no faith, very little faith. But we want the fire to fall. It's not going to happen until we take care of these things first. Because it said, then the fire of the Lord fell. I want to see God do something here. Hey, look, y'all. Hey, man, I didn't come for an offering. I ain't leaving without one. Hallelujah. But hey, here's the question tonight. Miss Melissa, if you don't mind, come to the piano. Here's the question. This week, do you want a meeting? Or do you want to meet with God?